The Supreme Court knocks down one vaccine mandate, but lets a smaller one stand. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Supreme Court yesterday issued two big decisions on COVID-19 vaccine mandates in the workplace. First, it blocked an emergency order by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration that said all large employers must require their employees to get vaccinated or tested weekly. The majority said Congress hadn't given OSHA that power. Second, the court said a different vaccine mandate from the Department of Health and Human Services was okay. That mandate covers hospitals and healthcare facilities that receive federal money from things like Medicare and Medicaid. HHS, the court said, does have that power. For more, I am joined by Debbie Berkowitz, a former senior OSHA official who's currently a fellow at Georgetown University. Good morning.
Good morning.
So bottom line, how will this decision affect workers?
Well, I think it's sort of a stunning decision that they effectively sort of killed the broad OSHA standard when we're facing a surge of COVID-19 cases.
You know, the court said OSHA can't make companies have require vaccines and testing. But what if they want to? I mean, could individual employers still do this on their own?
Yes, absolutely. Employers can do a lot of things on their own to protect workers. And fortunately, in some states, because of the politicization of this whole COVID crisis and how to mitigate the spread, some states have banned requiring vaccines. And that's really where this standard could have made a difference had the court upheld it. When you're at work, you don't get to choose who you work with, who you stand next to, what customers you interact with. You have no control over the safety of your workplace. And yes, now it's going to be up to employers to implement protections on their own.
The court did say that basically OSHA could have these kinds of mandates for jobs where there was like a specific risk, specific occupation-related risk around COVID. Do you think OSHA is going to start, you know, issuing mandates for particular occupations?
Right. The court did say that there are some workplaces that are higher risk, you know, like, for example, healthcare workers, which they let that vaccine stand for. But they talked about other workplaces, you know, where people work in crowded or cramped environments, supermarkets, meatpacking. What's interesting is one of the big industries that brought this lawsuit that was represented by very conservative groups was some supermarkets. So we hope the Biden administration moves forward to at least now issue some kind of emergency protections for workers, you know, in the sort of the frontline workers, that those workers get some, you know, protection, you know, vaccine testing, face mask, high quality face masks, social distancing, ventilation, that they could do that. And states could do that as well.
Debbie Berkowitz served as a senior OSHA official under the Obama administration. She's now a fellow at Georgetown University. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures also down in the 2 to 5/10% range. No relief from yesterday with the Dow future down 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.735%. You know how cigarette packages have to have warnings about the dangers of cigarettes and get people to not smoke as much? Well, France is about to start requiring that ads for cars include messages encouraging people not to drive. Specifically, automakers will have to include language in the ads that encourages people to take public transportation or bike or walk. The new rule takes effect in March, but does this kind of anti-product messaging work? Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has more.
France's new law means that somewhere in that ad, trying to get you to buy a zippy Peugeot or new VW or Hyundai, car makers basically have to say, hey, do you really need this? ads will encourage people to consider alternatives, especially for short trips. This was an easy move for the French government, says Jessica Roberts, who runs transportation change campaigns with Alta Planning and Design.
It is efficient. It also is cost-free, and it's unlikely to do any harm.
And Roberts says this is one thing that politicians can require.
So I sort of like that France said, well, we can't tell car companies not to advertise their product, but what is, you know, what leverage do we have?
The ads will also include a hashtag that translates to move, pollute less. The idea being that it'll become a social campaign too. And if it gets picked up and people besides car makers and the government start posting about walking and biking, that could be influential, says Kate White, professor of marketing and behavioral science at the University of British Columbia.
It also signals this idea of a social norm of other people are doing it and you see people getting on board and talking about it. It kind of makes it normative, right?
Right, except that changing a habit is extremely hard, especially with something as ingrained as getting into our cars.
And so just sort of giving people a very soft public health message effectively through adverts, I don't think is going to cut it.
Joseph Sherlock is a behavioral scientist at the Center for Advanced Hindsight at Duke University. He says to change habits, you need to create friction or barriers to bad behavior. Sherlock says, take indoor smoking bans.
So you have this sort of big social stigma and increased friction around having to go outside to smoke.
Sherlock says that's the kind of rule that governments should be putting in place if they're serious about disrupting car culture. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.